That's important to remember, guys. I always don't want to forget where we came from. And don't forget that thankful heart of He saved me. Of all people, like Alicia up here. This is her first time service leading. She did a good job. Thank you, Alicia. You kicked butt. This was it just yesterday or 2 days ago was your 9-year Christian. Last Sunday. So it's been a week since her 9-year anniversary from being converted from Muslim to Christian. Like that's a good thing to celebrate. Yeah, it's awesome. So last week we talked about the ministry is not just 2 hours on a Sunday morning, right? We wanted to say when you think of ministry, think of work. When you think of ministry, think of your career. What you're doing when you're praying over these kids, hey Ben, I'm talking to you. When you're praying for these kids, that ministry didn't happen on a Sunday morning. That ministry happened on the job, and we're seeing miracles happen because you are not just separating, this is when I do ministry, this is when I do work. It's all, when you give your heart to Jesus, it's all the time. Worship all the time. And I love that place that we can stay in that place of God. I'm just so thankful that you saved me. Let me never forget the wonder. Let me never forget where I was and where I am now. So we talked last week about David was given great influence, and it was because of one moment of service, right? He's called from the hill to King Saul's temple, I was going to say, castle we'll call it, and he plays his harp for Saul. And in that moment, Saul is released from this demon that's been oppressing his mind. One simple act of service gives him a line into government that he didn't have. We told the story of Joseph. Joseph was a man set in prison, but because he served the Pharaoh, he interpreted a dream for him. He was taken from a place into a great place of government. We're talking about serving our community is our ministry. Do you want to get to another level in your life? Do you ever feel like, oh, I want to be here, God, with my career? We talked, Jesus said, because of the joy set before him, he endured the cross, right? There is a joy set before us, but there is also a cross before us. Jesus says, are you willing to lay down your life just like I laid down my life? Willing to serve and to love and to serve humanity around you? Because there's a cross that we can go to the joy. Do you know? And it's a joy to serve. It all ends up being joy. But I want to just focus on one thing from last week that we read. We talked about the story of Jesus not separating ministry work from just serving the Lord. Like, it wasn't two separate things. He was at this well, and he's talking to this woman at the well. Do you remember this story? So in this moment, he's just sharing his life with this woman. He's just sharing, she's talking to him about certain things. He starts sharing a little bit about her past, a little bit of insight. And she's like, oh my goodness, you're a prophet. He didn't stop his ministry and he didn't just, okay, I did my crusade and now I'm taking some time off by the well to have some water. Wherever he went, it was a place of ministry. So he's at this well talking to this woman and the fellas come back. So this is John 4:31. It says, meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. So the disciples had left, and they come back to Jesus. And he said to him, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. His disciples said to one another, could someone have brought him food? He must have eaten somewhere else. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. I want to go back just for a second. In that same story, when he's talking to the Samaritan woman at the well, I think we can see an insight into Jesus, into his heart, and why sometimes for us, if you can just be honest with yourself, maybe you feel like this. I don't want to separate my ministry from work. I don't want to stop serving, but how I feel sometimes like I don't have the power like Jesus had. I heard the message last week, and yes, okay, I want to go serve. I think Jesus gave a key insight to why he was able to serve and able to find life in that. He talks and he says in verse 22, he says, you Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. He said, yet a time is coming and now has come when true worshipers
will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. And so it's a thing that Jesus introduced very early on, what the Father desires of us. Even while he's talking to this woman, even while he's living out who he is by serving, he gives us insight about what the Father desires. Worship in spirit and in truth. So right off the bat, Jesus puts like this, he puts a standard. He puts something in front of us that says, this is important to me. Because how many know that if you want to go serve in your community and you don't have some kind of relationship with the Lord, some kind of worship going on in your life, it can feel so hard. It can feel so draining. So we're going to talk a bit about the kingdom, how it's connected to worship, how it's connected to our relationship with the Father. Are you ready? I'm ready. Let's just pray for a second. God, we just thank you. We come again and thank you, God, that Ben spoke, and I'm going to speak shorter today. And that was supposed to be a joke, but I love you, Lord. And just again, we just lay our hearts before you and just speak to our hearts. And we are so thankful, Jesus. Illuminate the word as we preach, God, that it would just sink into our hearts. We open up our ears, we open up our eyes, we open up our hearts that we might hear you this morning. Amen. So worshipers, so if God is seeking true worship, what is that kind of saying? There can be false worship, right? If there's true, then there can be false. Right off the bat, he's saying there's one form of true worship. If you're a worshiper and you go into your workplace, like a worshiper, I don't know where you're at, but my life, when I remember what Christ has done in my life, when I remember who God is and I have a spirit of worship in me, it's almost like I feel the Holy Spirit with me everywhere I go. Do you know that the Holy Spirit is attracted to you when you lift up the name of Jesus? Do you know the Holy Spirit loves to illuminate Jesus? He loves to bring more light. So when you walk into work and you're just like, oh, God, thank you for this day. You don't have to say it out loud because people might think you're a bit odd, but that's okay. But you just have that spirit of worship. Oh, Jesus, I only can walk right now because you let me have another breath right now. You sustain me. God, I just thank you. You can thank you for anything. I thank you that I can taste this delicious coffee right now. You can say, I thank you that I have sight right now. You just walk in that spirit of thank you, Jesus. You're going to start to have an atmosphere around you that the Holy Spirit is drawn to. Sometimes people are in adoration and you're in a spirit of worship. And that person comes into the room and they feel peace over your life. They feel something. They say, I got to talk to you about this. And you have an open door to speak influence into their life, to speak comfort into their life. And in Canada, it's kind of hard because it's about, if you're thinking true worship, false worship, it's probably like 100 to 1. 100 things that people worship or that we, even in our life, can focus our attention on rather than focus on God every day. If we walk in this place of worship, it's not going to be a battle to do ministry. It's going to be a place of talking with God. Somebody comes by and you sit by the well. You're able to just share. You know, it says in the scriptures, Jesus was tired, physically tired, yet a spirit of worship is going to still, it's going to be like food. When you are able to do the will of the Father, you're able to worship God in that way. It's going to be like food. It's going to be like nourishment. This is good news. But guys, if all you're hearing right now is Brock saying, you need to serve more. You need to do more work. You need to get out there into your... You're not doing anything. I hope you know that that's not me, okay? That would be the devil. I'm here to urge you to fall more in love with Jesus. I'm here to urge you to worship the Lord in your day. From wake up to sleeping, if you keep that spirit of worship in your heart, you are going to serve. It's going to be like an overflow. You can't help it. If you go to serve without worship, it's not going to be an overflow. It's going to be dragging your feet. So if you're worship, you're going to find pretty much everything about the Bible, about the church, about serving, it's going to start to become a delight. We're talking through the Bible, the New Testament. You know what? Do you ever get like a little bit weird with the Bible? Not weird, but like sometimes I'm just so in love with the Bible, like I'm not going to kiss it because it's just a book. But it's just such a beautiful thing. Like even last night before bed, I just had it at the corner of the bed and I just looked over it and it just makes my heart glad. It just makes me happy. Because this is like, I've said it before. Remember, there's so many times that Jesus would speak in a parable and then he'd go off and the disciples would be like, we did not get that. And he would say, I'm not going to share this with everybody, but I'm sharing it with you boys right now. You know, like the stuff that is in here is like God of heaven came to earth and he shared mysteries. He shared secrets with these disciples. And then we get to just flip open anytime we like and read like God in the flesh came to earth and read his words. Isn't that so precious? It's so good. We're going to be reading at Mark 4 today if you want to start turning your Bibles there. Without worship in our life, we lose our way. When we relate to the world and everything around us through the lens of relationship with God, our attitude of worship, it starts to become like the burden is gone to serve. Because you know what? You end up worshiping and the serving happens. And then you look back on your day and somebody's like, man, that really helped me, what you spoke into my life earlier today. You're like, I don't even remember. I thought we were just having coffee. But apparently, I was just in worship with the Lord and love and life that I spoke into your life, you know? He's also going to drop your things on your heart. He's going to be like, say this, and then you say this, and then they just go, oh, they're going to break down. But that's another level, but that's good. If we come to God without an attitude of worship, we miss the boat. You know, it says, come into his presence, or enter his gates with thanksgiving in your heart. How many remember that from the Psalms? That's David. He said, you want to get into the presence of God? Start coming with some thanksgiving. You know, we have circumstances in our life. How many know there's a difference between truth and fact? You know what? Fact is, I messed up. But the truth is, in the Word of God, I come back to the truth. What does God say? He says, he remembers my sin no more, right? If you ask forgiveness, it says, he remembers your sin no more. So fact is, I messed up. So that the truth is, no, I'm clean with God. So the devil comes. Okay, this is the other thing too. Have you guys ever felt like you did something wrong yesterday, you asked God to forgive you, and you get it the next day, and you think, oh, it must be conviction. It must be something like that. Well, if God's forgotten about it, who's the one reminding you of it? That's a good question. So it's a difference. We go into our workplace, we carry worship. People will find peace in their circumstances, answers to their problems, spiritual, supernatural things will begin to happen. So let's turn. We're going to turn to Mark 4 together. It's a nice chunk, everybody, so brace yourself. I'd make you stand, but it's okay because it's a long one. All right, we're going to read Mark 4. So once again, Jesus began to teach beside the sea. A huge crowd gathered, so he got into the boat and stationed himself on the sea, with all the crowd on the shore looking out to sea. He taught them lots of things in parables. This is how the teaching went. Listen, he said, once upon a time there was a sower who went out sowing. As he was sowing, some seed fell beside the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rock, where it didn't have much soil. There was no depth to the ground, so it shot up at once. But when the sun came, it was scorched and withered away because it hadn't got any root. Other seed fell among thorns. The thorns grew up and choked it, and it didn't give any crop. And other seed fell into good soil and gave a harvest, which grew up and increased and bore a yield, in some cases 30, in some 60-fold, and in some 100-fold. And he added, if you got ears, then listen. So this is Jesus. Hey, if you got some ears, listen up. When we were alone, the people who were around Jesus with the 12 asked him the parables. He said, the mystery of God's kingdom is given to you. Right now, he's talking about the kingdom. He's saying, if you got some ears, listen up. He replied, but for the people outside, it's all in parables, so that they may look and look, but never see, and hear and hear, but never understand. Otherwise, they would turn and be forgiven. Remember that moment where Jesus is sharing this. This is God of gods. This is a beautiful thing. We're just about to hear a secret from God to 12 people that we now get to read. This is a beautiful thing, right? Okay, let's look. 13. He said, "Don't you understand the parable?" He said to them. "How are you going to understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. The ones by the path are the people who hear the word, but immediately the accuser comes and takes away the word that has been sown in them. The ones sown on the rock are those who hear the word and accept it with excitement, but don't have any root in themselves. They are short-term enthusiasts. When the word brings them trouble or hostility, they quickly become disillusioned. The others, the ones sown among thorns, are those who hear the word, and the worries of the present age and the deceit of riches, desires for all kinds of things, come and choke the word so that it produces no fruit." And last verse. "But the one who sows on good soil are the people who hear the word and receive it and produce fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. Thank you, Lord. One thing I want to talk about today is going to be verse 16 and 17. The ones sown on the rock are those who hear the word and accept it with excitement, but they don't have any root in themselves. Even if we just stop there for 1 second, they don't have any root in themselves. Do you ever hear something from the word, a truth from God? It's like, it says the word is like planted in your heart. But if there's no root, if there's no something in your heart that will allow that to grow, what happens? It's just going to dry up. It's just going to be a short-term enthusiast. Facts of your life can be negative or positive. This is, David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, with all that is within me. Bless his holy name and forget not all his benefits." Forget not. Sometimes in life, you hear a fact. Have you heard people are like, for every negative thing against your life, you need 4 positives. Have you heard that? Just to like overcome a negative. I think it's more like 100 positive things. But you can be going through life and you can be getting, people are receiving the Lord, receiving salvation. We'll have baptisms next week. Things are going awesome. And yeah, you'll hear one word about, Pastor so-and-so got a call from so-and-so, and it was, a rude person, and like that ever happens. Or whatever the case may be, it's just like, oh, this person had a slip up. Oh, and you just can get, negative things can just bog you down. Because the way that if our minds aren't renewed, we focus on the negatives. It's not nothing you have to shy away from. We have to come back to the word so that when negative things come in our life, the seed is able to stay planted. Are you following me this morning? People can come and people can say certain things, and one negative thing can decimate unbelievably good things that are happening in your world. So that's facts, but they're not the truth. Forget not all his benefits is what David says. When you feel that conviction and it says, you screwed up again. Go back to that. It says, God who forgives all your sins. All your sins. Let go of what you've done. If you've forgotten your sin, if Jesus has forgotten your sin, who's remembering it? Who's reminding you? It's either you or it's the devil. Let it go. Let it go. I'm feeling this. This is about worship. I want God, when he speaks to me, for things to be able to grow in my life. Who wants that? We all want that. If I'm going to be focusing on negatives, if I'm going to be focusing on things that are going on, it's like God wants to raise you above circumstances. Sometimes this is all going in your life right now, but God says, you know what? Why don't you come back to the word? Speak what I speak over you. Don't let your circumstances become your truth. Oh, Lord, that's something there. Oh, man. Just felt the Holy Spirit boom right when I said that. I just want to say it again. You don't base your life on your circumstances. You base your life on the Word. I feel like God is just saying there's something. Oh man, all you've ever seen is negative. How can I believe that God is good? All I've ever seen, God hasn't brought me through this circumstance. Therefore, God is a liar. You might not say it with your own mouth, but there's something in your heart saying he says he is good in the Word, but I'm not seeing goodness in my life. He must be a liar. I feel like God wants to plant the Word in your heart. But if you have these things you're holding on in your heart, facts rather than the truth, the Word of God, you know what? That seed can't take root. That seed can't start to grow. Your heart is like that soil. That's what Jesus is saying. The Word comes in. And it says, but they don't have any root in themselves. This is the kind of Word Jesus is saying. I often feel like God wants to plant something in your life, but there's no worship. There's nothing going on in the life that just says, God, do you know the difference between a worshiper and a not a worshiper? It's like, people come into your life, and sometimes if I have to disciple somebody and I'm trying to say something for like 10 hours, this, and it just doesn't ever sink in, I feel like a worshiper comes into the room and it's just like, it's like an open heart. Yes, I understand. I need God. A worshiper needs God. It's about humility. It's about taking in God. I can't even breathe. I can't even wake up without you. God, if you want something to grow in your heart, there's going to be a few things you got to let go. There's a few things about retrusting God again with your life. Speak the truth over your life. Let a seed grow. There's a war in your mind, and you got to speak life. You got to speak truth. God wants to plant a root. He wants that root to start growing in your heart. There's got to be some lies you got to let go and some truth you got to let sink in. Oh, Lord. This is big. I feel like this is big for our church. I want to talk just a bit about in Korea, there was this body of water that went black. You may have heard this story before. And the people in that village didn't understand it. It just went black. Usually this is like a beautiful lake. They would draw water from it. It started to go black. And they didn't know what to do, so they brought some monks in. So these monks came in. They didn't know what to do either. But they started to just, they have their poems. They have their songs that they would chant into this community over the water. They would just be like, oh, the sky is beautiful. The water is lovely. The trees are growing. Very beautiful Asian poems. But this is a real story. I'll stick to my notes, it's better. And here's what they would say. The sun shines on all the worlds. The blossoms are coming out. The leaves are receiving life. And what happened is the water started to become clear again. And they were like, I don't understand this, but this is working. But scientists come and they're like, no, I don't. I think this is a one-off, right? So they take water and they start to say, okay, let's take dirty water and see if we can make this happen. Let's see if anything in the water changes structure or changes at all. And they would take two different beakers with the exact same elements around, the same weather, and they would speak over one thing, life, and they would speak over one thing, like, you fool. They would just say words to it, and they would find the water that was dirty that they spoke life over would become clean. Does this sound crazy? It's true. So I took some photos from these scientists, and I got a whole bunch that Drew's going to show us. So these scientists all over the world started to be like, I don't believe that this can happen, that words are this powerful. So this is after the Buddhist prayer was offered at this Fujiwara Dam. That's how it looked, and I believe right before it is how the water used to look. Oh, it might have been two photos back, but that's okay. What I'm saying is they didn't understand, but the way they would speak into just water as it was crystallizing. So they would use the same place. Okay, water now, as it's becoming a crystal, as it's becoming frozen, would become beautiful. And when they spoke negatively over it, it would become ugly. You guys look this up if you want to go more. Okay, sorry, let's go on. So this is just the word evil that they would speak over this water. Okay, go on. Love and gratitude. Oh, it's beautiful. You can just flip through them kind of quick. Peace. Go on. Thank you. Truth. It would make it beautiful. You disgust me. Wisdom. Yes. You fool. Like, just pause for 1 second. Like, I'm not, this isn't, this website is not just some website that Brock just made up right now. You guys are all going to want to test this at home when you get home. This is scientists and doctors that saw that this would happen, that happened at this lake, and they couldn't believe it. So they had to do studies themselves. And it's like they said, like, you can't believe it till you see it. But let's go on. So that's you fool. This is the speech. So then they would play different things just in the room while it's happening. Okay, let's see if we play the speech of Martin Luther King. That's what happened as the water crystallized. Heartbreak Hotel, Elvis Presley. Okay, so this is funny. This is what they play in the room, and they you know when your parents are like, don't listen to Elvis, it's the devil. It's like you look at it and you're like, it's kind of beautiful, but maybe that's what they were feeling, that little bit over there. Heartbreak Hotel, what's next? A Korean folk song. Still a little weird, but still kind of pretty. This is a heavy metal song. Okay. I know it sounds goofy, but maybe parents are onto something, you know. I don't like it. I don't know why I don't like it, but I don't like it. Okay. Even some scientists see that it's... This is Amazing Grace. Symphony number 40 by Mozart. Still a little weird to me. And back to Welcome. That was by Drew. He wrote the words. So, these are scientists and doctors speaking over things and seeing structure take shape in either a positive way or a negative way. This is water. Why is this significant? Well, our bodies are made up of 60% water. And if that doesn't blow your mind, I'm saying what you speak over your life is going to affect your life. You want something to take root in you, but you're filled with like speaking hate over yourself, speaking death over yourself, speaking lies over yourself. You're going to walk with that. 60% of you is going to be that. That's not good, guys. I feel like this is, I'm not trying to be like New Agey on you. This is just the power of speaking over your life, speaking truth or speaking negatively. This is awesome. I know it's getting a little later in the day. I want to call up the band. We had a little bit longer of a service today. But the power of speaking over your life, speaking the word of God into your circumstances, and believing his word over the fact or over the circumstances, guys, is going to lift you above. It's going to bring you in time. You speak it into your life, and God says, test me in this. This is what God is saying. I want to see you through. On my heart this week was a lot to do with worship. A worshiper knows he is in need. A person who doesn't need God, doesn't need anybody else. There's no concept of worship, is going to stay in that place until they get to the place like, God, I am a person in need. I'm in no greater place of influence. I'm in no greater place of walking with God than when I'm in a place of worship. I tell you guys, I read a book for like, and it's not just me. It can be a lot of us. Read a book for like, it takes me like a day, and I learn this much. And sometimes I can have just a time of worship with the Lord for 10 minutes, and I get insight. God will just speak to me in that moment. If you continue to stay in that place of worship, in that place of God, I go before like every coffee I go to. I just start with praying in the Lord. I pray in the Spirit for a while. If you just keep that heart going, God, speak to me. God, my heart is open to you. God, I don't want to speak just my own words. I want to see life happen. I want to see hearts healed. I want to see people restored. God, and it's the same thing, the heart of worship is also saying, I'm in need. So you can be walking in your life. If you have that heart of worship, you say, God, I admit I don't have it all together. God, reveal pride in my heart that I could just see it and ask forgiveness for it and move on. A place of worship, when you walk into church, when you walk into your community, when you walk into your workplace, if you have that attitude of worship, your life is going to be different. It's going to look different. And people are going to come up to you and say, there is something different. Even Jesus was like such a beautiful example of just a person of worship. He looks different. When God of the universe would come and wash our feet, God of the universe would bow down low. It's a place of our heart, a place of worship. I want to be that in our community. I want to be a person that says, man, that guy will get into the dirt to help somebody. I'm not above. Just like Jesus would bend down and get into that dirt, and he'd write in the dirt when that woman was about to be stoned, right? He gets down, he writes in the dirt. When those guys leave, he said, who is it condemns you? He says, neither do I condemn you. It's that same place of being willing to go down to where people are at. Walking in that heart of worship. Letting that seed grow in your life. So let's just pray together. We're gonna stand and sing again. God, I just pray today, God, that the words that you speak would have soft soil in my heart, God. God, I want to walk as a man. We want to walk as men and women of worship. God, we just want to recognize even this morning our need. We need you, Jesus. You made us so beautiful, so wonderful, but let us not ever get the mindset that we can do this on our own without you, God. God, we need you. We need one another. So God, even now as we come and sing, we just open up our heart. We open up our mind that we would hear you, God, that we would see you, and that we would walk in that place of worship into our workplace and see life happen in our workplace, God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let's sing together. Let's stand together. If you want to sit, that's okay too. Just let God come and let God just wash over you, no matter what's going on in life. Just let him come. Say, Holy Spirit, you're welcome in my heart. Amen. Let's sing. Yeah, that'd be awesome. Hallelujah. Oh, nothing worth more ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're living whole. Your I'm
shame is undone. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yes. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Lord. Hearts long for. Oh, we are so thankful. We are so thankful. We are so thankful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we are so. Hallelujah. God, our heart cry, God, we are so in need. We so rely on your Holy Spirit. God, just let the prayer of our heart be thank you. Thank you that we can come into your presence at any time. Thank you that you are the Comforter, Holy Spirit, that is with us at all times. Thank you, Jesus, you tore the veil so we can come to you. God, there's so much to be thankful for and so much to walk in, God. Our hearts desire to remain in you. Abide in the vine. Abide in your truth. Abide in your word and your love. God, we want to walk as you walked. And we know that to walk as you walked is to have a relationship like you have. So God, we just make ourselves aware that you are with us. As we pray, let us become more aware, God. We make ourselves aware even now that you are here. You are with us at all times. Hallelujah. Amen.
There's something about that this morning when I was speaking. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. There's something about waking up and just saying, thank you, God. There's something about when life is, there's a lot of circumstances going on. There's about stopping and saying, thank you, God. You are at work in my circumstances. You can even be like my lovely little wife. She actually has a little reminder she puts in her phone that goes off every once in a while and just says, be thankful. Thank God. We live in the age where we can be reminding ourselves like that, guys. It's important to live in that place, to let the truth sink into you. Let it grow, eh? Eh, Canada, eh? That's beautiful. Well, we love you guys. We love you so much. As always, we want to be able to pray for you. My wife and I will be over here. And we just want you to have an amazing week. If you need anything, come for prayer. But if you don't, you're released. Have an amazing week. And we'll see you next week at Sunday Funday, our two-year anniversary. And I know a few of you have come to me to get baptized this week already, but I know there's a few more. So come chat with us. Have an amazing week, everybody. That's so good.